This is such a great time of year where we get to start thinking about Christmas right around the corner. And it's never too early to start thinking about ways that you can actually do something to help somebody in need. That's why I love that we've partnered with Food for the Hungry and the Chicken of the Month Club. Now, this is a subscription-based option, kind of like you do like Socks of the Month and things like that. This is where you can send two chickens to a family in need for only $28 a month. And you might be thinking, why chickens? I don't even know the first thing to do if someone gave me a chicken. I'd be like, what do I do with this? But these people in these developing countries, they know how to maximize that resource.
Yeah, and one other good thing about having chickens is that they lay eggs. I mean, I'm pretty sure, not that I know much about chickens, but that they lay eggs every day, I believe.
A lot of eggs, yes.
So,
Don't quote her on that.
That's helpful.
And that's how families can earn extra income, by selling eggs. Plus, the nutrition for families that deal with food insecurity. Don't tell the chickens about that, but it's a great source of protein. And they can also sell the chicks to other families as well. And so there's another income opportunity as a side hustle for them as well.
Another great thing about chickens is that they multiply pretty fast. So when they're selling those baby chicks, the families can get the income that they need that can help them reach their goal even quicker.
And another thing I love about this, it's not a handout, it's a hand up. And if that kind of resonates with you, it's a great thing to do this holiday season. You can help provide two chickens every month to a family for just $28 a month. You can check it out at fh.org/Wally Show. That's fh.org/Wally Show, or text the word chicken to 91979. That's chicken to 91979. We'll send you a link. Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast, all the stuff we did not get to during the course of the show today. And it turns out this is the last Aftercast for a year.
Wow.
Or the rest of the year.
Just for a few weeks.
Because we are in support drive all next week, and then we are on vacation until the first of the year. So I apologize for that. I had somebody email me yesterday like, please say it isn't so. But, you know, if you're all caught up, I'm sorry. But we have a lot of podcasts. Maybe go back and listen to some you missed. We have them all there for you. You can get them for free. If you have listened to the show and the podcast already, you heard Gavin and Betty doing the reindeer games this year for their Christmas bonus. And we had them throw darts and answer questions to get envelopes, and they had no idea what money was in the envelopes. And kind of like Deal or No Deal, we opened them up. Betty did so badly during the first few rounds, and she was so sad. But then when it turned and she started coming back and winning envelopes, the joy on her face was like a small child at Christmas.
It was just joy to actually be
successful.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, because it was going from at the beginning.
It was 3-0.
Yeah. Gavin had three envelopes right out of the gate. She had none. And the whole game,
at least wanted something.
You got to get some. But then when she got her envelopes, that was short lived, because when she started opening her envelope, she was so sad that Gavin had picked all the expensive envelopes.
Well, he did.
I know. And he didn't do it. I mean, he didn't do it on purpose. But Gavin is such a good person. He's like, he was going to offer to share his winnings with her. But I know Betty won't reciprocate. No, that's what he did on the air. Off the air, he was like, I would split it with her.
What? No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
You didn't hear me say that?
No, yeah. I did not hear you say that
he
at
did.
All.
He did. I heard him, and I believe him.
No, he didn't, because I didn't hear it.
Honest, truthful. See, this is it, man. Like.
But I didn't hear it.
Everybody, this is what I figured out. Everybody loves Betty more than she loves anyone. We all love her so much, and we would take a bullet for her, but she would use me as a shield in a split second. Like, so.
Nah, she's got more life to live.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, ish.
But I'd be doing it to protect Gavin.
Yeah, right.
Wait, what?
So you
bring Wally as the shield for me.
Yeah, no.
I take it.
But anyway, you can watch the video. We'll have that up later today. Gavin's putting the finishing touches on that, and then we'll post it. But it was still fun. We had some great gifts.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to try out my soda can helmet.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. And my socks and my bagel thing. So.
I can't wait to use the cereal cup mug thing.
That is so weird.
I've seen that on like YouTube and a couple videos. So I wouldn't think to get that for myself, though. So that was
for
that
a car trip. That's a great gift.
Very
too.
Cool. Yeah. It's a good breakfast. Oh, I have breakfast every day now.
Oh yeah, that's true. You could.
Yeah.
Oh, you're welcome, guys.
Anyway, it was a fun day, and I always love that. You're never sure, like, because we goof around with it and we have fun, and so I'm hoping that when people listen to it or going back and watch it, they enjoy it too. But I had like one of our bosses was like, "Hey, this is really fun today." So I'm like, "Okay, good." So because I know we get having fun with it, and sometimes it can get a little inside, as they say. And you don't ever want to do that in radio. But I think genuinely when you're goofing around And people like to live vicariously through that. And, you know, because not everybody gets to do fun things at their work for, you know. And I think people ultimately love to see Betty get host.
I don't know. Because
your reactions are so good. Like I think it's like when Pastor Chad walked in and we told him how much Gavin had made and how little Betty had made, his reaction was he literally just goes, bah! I mean, he just got
laughed. Yeah, but Chad is on a whole different level. He's always wishing the worst on me.
It's so funny.
Because he is the worst.
Oh, man. All right, let's get on to a couple things here from the news and stuff. You know, we talked the other day about that kid that sadly lost his life in that high school shooting, Tate Meir. And he was regarded as a hero, ran towards the shooter and tried to disarm him. And the Michigan football team, University of Michigan, played a game in his honor. And so sometimes after these tragedies, things start to come out later that are, you know, you find some good and the bad. And here's a kind of another story along that line is that the last remaining victim of the shooting that was hospitalized and was in intensive care has actually been moved to a standard room.
Oh, good.
So that person is getting better, and they haven't released her name or anything. She's young. She's 17, but she is still in the hospital, and she has, you know, probably 4 to 6 weeks left to go, but she's making progress and moving forward. That was a really weird case too, man, because the school was intervening. There was issues with the parents, and the kid used the parents' gun, and then the parents got arrested. And
yeah, because I heard that they knew he had it.
Yeah,
which is shocking.
Like that they gave it to him early. Like they bought it and then gave it to him. And that's a really gray area too for guns. There's been other shootings where somebody has bought the gun for somebody. You know, so it was bought legally, but then if they gave it to you, like when I was growing up as a kid, you know, my dad owned guns and I used to get to go shoot them out at the job site and stuff like that. But theoretically, his gun, if I had access to it, I could have done something horrible. Mm-hmm. So in the past, they weren't holding parents as responsible as it seems like this one. But I hear there's more to the story of the parents, and like it wasn't just like accidentally the kid got the gun, or there was other stuff going on.
Well, what I heard was that they were called in to a parent-teacher conference with the principal that morning of the shooting.
That's crazy.
And that he had written or drawn something, their son had, about the fact that he was going to
shoot
him up
and bullets,
or something.
Yeah.
Or he posted something on social media, and it was supposed to be a discipline thing. And they were given 48 hours to find him a therapist to talk to. 48 hours. Mm-hmm. And they were given the chance to take him out of school that day, but they chose not to. They chose to keep him in school. Mm. And then that was the day that he
It's interesting
shot
that
everyone.
The school didn't. Yeah, and there are lawsuits coming out about this too towards the school for just this reason. Well, why did you not remove him? You know, if you had this threat or this fear, and then you let him stay in school, and then we all know what happened from there. So yeah, all of these things are always hindsight and what we could have done better and what we should have done better or should have done differently. You know, and sadly there are families now that have had their lives completely altered, and you never know if they're. You know, sometimes you can be the best parents in the world and your kid's broken, you know, and they do bad things. And then other times you're part of the problem, you know. And so I don't know where this one fully lands. But the fact that they are charging the parents with manslaughter is kind of new and next level, you know, because I know, like, if I was a kid and I could get my parents in trouble like that, that would scare me. Like, because I want to get them in trouble because my dad, oh, man, that would not have been good.
Yeah.
You know, and so if there's some culpability or there's some accountability, then maybe you are going to be a little bit more interactive as a parent. This was a weird story. I love treasure hunting shows like Oak Island and stuff. I finally left it, though.
Oh, good. Because I watched it one time. I was over there. I think your wife was cooking us dinner or something, and I came over. And you were watching it, and they just kept teasing. Yeah. And then we found something incredible.
Yeah.
And then eventually they get to it after hours of commercials. And it was a small fragment of a button.
Yep. And it's not a big deal. And they fooled me for about 5 years with that.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, the idea, I love them digging into the earth and doing all these tunnels and sending divers down into this thing. Like, I love the mechanics of it. I'd love to be a treasure hunter. I really would. Like, how great is that? Because every day is like, what are we going to find? You know, today could be the day.
You never grew up.
Yeah, I know. I didn't. And so, they never find anything. So finally, when my cable subscription ran out, like in my new way of doing TV, I don't have that option to watch that show. Uh-huh. And I found that I'm okay, you know, because I figure if they actually find something, it's actually going to make a newspaper or some news somewhere,
right.
then I'll catch up.
And
I'll find
call.
A way to, yeah, I'll find a way
good
to find
call.
It. But there is a former deep sea treasure hunter who is preparing for his sixth year in jail.
Sixth year.
I just licked my windscreen. When I stuck my tongue out. Oh, that's gross. Okay. And it's even my windscreen. Ugh. Nah, I'm a disgusting human being.
You know where that's been.
Yeah, apparently I'm disgusting. So he has been in jail for 6 years for refusing to disclose the whereabouts of 500 missing coins from a gold historic shipwreck. So apparently he finds this shipwreck, and I guess you have to turn over, you know, parts of it. Like usually when you find a shipwreck, the state that you find it in and off their coast, they take the lion's share of it as a historical thing, and you have to turn certain amounts over. You get to keep certain amounts. But apparently there's 500 missing coins, and he would not tell them where they were, and so they held him in contempt of court.
What?
And yeah, contempt of court is that weird thing. Judges can hold you in contempt of court for just about anything, and they can lock you up. They can put you in jail for that, which is crazy to me. I got held in contempt of court once.
What?
I knew it. I know. I was held in contempt of court, but it was the threat of contempt of court. Oh. Like, the judge told me and called my boss, because we had done a radio bit, and I got in trouble. And
no.
Yeah. And I was not smart. I was, back in the day, I was young and mouthy, and so the judge,
no.
I know, really? So the judge, I had to stand before the judge, and I had an audience, and so I chose to be Wally, you know, and so I was trying to be funny and flippant, and it did not play well in that room. Apparently, that's not when you goof around. And so she called my boss because she knew my boss personally and was furious, and my boss was mad at me, and she basically held contempt of court over me that if I talked about any of the stuff on the radio following this event that I was a part of, that I would have to go to jail for contempt of court.
Dang.
Yeah. So I go back, and I'm working with my radio partner at the time. And I tell him all the story, and I tell him where we're at, and it's serious, and I've had to hire a lawyer and all this stuff. And he's like, man, that's really bad. That's horrible. So first break in. So tell me about the story.
I'm no.
Like, yeah, I swear. See, this is where people don't get radio guys. Like,
it's terrible.
And all you do is you just, it's kind of a guy thing. You put your buddy on the spot. You know, you do it in front of your buddy and his wife or his girlfriend or whatever. You just try to stir the pot. First thing out of his mouth, I'm like, dude, I can't talk about this. He's like, well, what about this? I'm like, I cannot talk about any of this. I will go to jail. And he goes, I know, that's what I want.
That's terrible.
I know, right?
It's
like
funny.
With
that
friends like that.
Horrible people. You don't need enemies.
I know, but it was funny. I mean, it made me laugh.
Tell them all those jokes when you're in jail.
Yeah, exactly.
It was funny though, guys.
Exactly.
It was funny.
And so anyway, but there is a rule that generally in contempt of court, the limit is 18 months. I didn't realize that. I'm like, I could have done 18. No, I'm just kidding.
No,
I couldn't have done 18 minutes.
A year and a half.
I could not have done 18 minutes, man. But apparently they got around it because they said that this guy, it doesn't apply to him because it violates his plea deal or something. And so 6 years. So he's facing $1,000 a day fine as well. So 6 years at $1,000 a day. These 500 coins must be worth millions, tens of millions of dollars, or he literally doesn't know where they are, or he is like the most principled person and is like, well, I'm not telling you now, you know, because like, yeah. let's figure out what 6 years is. Hold on. 6 years per day. So six times 365 equals 2,190 times $1,000 a day is $2,190 in fines. Okay. Yes. So that's what he's facing. So those $500 gold coin or those 500 gold coins have to be worth more than that. Have to. Because why would you do this to yourself then?
When does he get out?
When he doesn't yet. He's still in jail. Yeah.
There's no end in sight.
Not yet. Isn't that crazy?
There's got to be an end in sight, though, because...
I guess when he tells them.
Wow.
Yeah.
But then they must have some kind of something to let them know that he does know something.
Oh, yeah.
You can't just leave someone in jail if they keep saying they don't know.
That's crazy. Yeah. I mean,
you can't do that.
That's why they have the statute of 18 months, but they have gone around that to mess with this guy. And then he's not bending and they're not bending and this guy's in jail. So it just
sounds like a bunch of men with... pride issues.
Yeah. You chalk a lot of things up to that with guys at the office, and I'm not going to say you're wrong. I'm not going to say you're wrong at all, because you're always like, oh, they say women are emotional.
Men are just as emotional.
It just manifests itself differently. It's more like anger. You guys are like cheap shots, and we're more like direct.
Right. Well, also because, and this is another thing, anger... from a man is considered powerful.
Sure.
Whereas anger from a woman is considered a Karen.
Right. Yeah.
So it's a double standard.
Oh, yeah. The double standard for men and women. I mean, there's a lot of.
So you have to be
a
little catty about it because you can't be just abrupt and mean because then everybody thinks you're terrible.
Well, that's the thing, too. Like when women try to be very strong and assertive, it's read differently in business than it is by men, you know? And that's not fair or right either. But that's where Betty Rock just chooses to not be assertive.
And here is a great segue into my least of these.
Oh, well, there
can
you go.
Can I go into that?
Thank you for asking. Yes, you can. Like, if you had demanded it, I would have been like,
I'm going into it.
In anger.
See, why are you like this?
Why are you such a Karen? Well, Time Magazine announced their person. No, they haven't announced the person of the year yet. They've announced their athlete of the year and their entertainer of the year. So, entertainer of the year, I believe she's only 18 or 19. Uh-oh. Olivia Rodrigo.
Oh, yeah. Do you guys know her song?
Yeah, good for
it was on
you,
TikTok.
Happy and healthy.
Yeah. And Driver's License.
Yeah, that was her really big one.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Happy and healthy. I always thought I always thought that song was saying, I hope you're happy in hell. And no, I'm like,
happy and healthy.
Healthy. Yeah. So I'm glad it's healthy.
Yes. And then athlete of the year is Simone Biles.
You know what? That checks out because of the way the world works and the way we are right now with political correctness
well,
and mental
a lot of people are commending
issues.
Her
of
because
course.
She stepped out of the Olympics due to her mental health issues, which is good. But according to you,
debatable.
According to you, it's not.
Yeah,
because she left her team high and dry.
Here's the thing with this. I think what's hard on
I think they did well.
Yeah, they did. And the problem is, you cannot say anything about anyone the second they play the mental health card. You know, that's the thing.
Yeah.
You playing the mental health card instantly makes it so no one can have an opinion. Because the second you have an opinion about it, then what, you don't like mental health? What, you want her to die?
How dare you criticize somebody?
Yeah, exactly.
They're struggling.
Yeah, so that's my problem with the mental health card.
Now, you're assuming, I think.
Yes.
That it's not her mental health issues aren't that bad, or she didn't have them at all. She's just using that card so she can get out.
That's a very good distinction, and I'm not even saying that. I'm saying I think she probably does struggle with things.
Uh-huh.
To what degree, none of us will ever know, and it's hard to judge somebody's mental capacity for sure. Mm-hmm. But I do know that so many people that, like, athletes work on a different level, and I know the whole thing, the twisties, and you can get hurt if you're not in the right headspace or whatever, but like usually mental health doesn't hit you one day in, you know, like 2 days into this thing. It's like you've been dealing with this for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I'm like, you should have stepped out beforehand and given somebody else the shot of a lifetime to do this versus going in, not performing well, and then stepping out. That's what it looked like to the rest of the world, or not the rest of the world, the rest of the people like me. Is that you didn't do well, so you stepped away from it and then, you know, and used mental health as a way to skirt the issue instead of dealing with it head on.
Now, will say something.
Yes.
I have dealt with my own anxiety, depression situations before. And I will say that the last bout that I had, I was fine until one day something happened.
Right.
That was a trigger for me.
And it wasn't me, for the record.
No, it wasn't Wally.
Be very clear.
But the very next day,
yeah,
it was like I felt myself going down a slippery slope.
I do remember
that. It
was
very quick.
I do remember that.
So I'm on the side of believing there's a chance that she was fine.
Sure.
And trying to do the best that she could. But there's a lot of pressure. And there are, and typically it does think like it takes little rocks and then they build up,
right,
and they build up and it's,
right,
so heavy that you can't deal with it anymore. Mm-hmm. But there could have been something there, something that was said, something that she had to do that triggered that mentality,
sure,
again. Also, we have to
keep in mind
that she was involved in that whole Me Too movement,
yeah,
because of the
Larry
coach
Nassar,
that,
yeah,
she had.
Right.
So we can't
whole
even speak into that.
And she had,
all,
like, in her defense, she had what was probably like the weight of the world on her shoulders, because she was the one, I think she was like our USA headline athlete,
yeah,
for the Olympics.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think she's like my age. Like, I couldn't imagine going into that feeling like, oh, like, in essence, like, if I don't win the most medals in this sport, it's going to be a failure or something like that.
Right. I think all of those points are valid.
But you're still going to stand.
What's your final call?
No, I think they're all valid. I think maybe you give her person of the year, you know?
This is, yeah. Well,
versus
this,
athlete of the
this
year.
This is the, like, a debatable thing for me, because there could have been like other athletes who per se accomplished more,
right,
and by that standard would have been more deserving of it.
Right.
But athletes are also more than just like games won and medals,
sure,
won. They make a serious impact on a lot of people's lives. And so maybe their way of measuring this was saying like, oh, Simone Biles had an impact on a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
We debate that, like what her decisions and all that and,
oh, yeah,
how important everything is. But she still had, I think, probably a very positive impact on people who do have those struggles, especially athletes who maybe have, mm-hmm, mental stuff that they're going through.
And you hear more athletes coming out after this saying, yes, I had amazing pressure on me. And so they were really proud of her for stepping out and saying no, because there are pressures to compete even when you're hurt. Like, look at football. Football does it all,
yeah,
the time. Hey, let's inject you with cortisone. Let's get you back out there.
These guys go out with concussions.
Right.
They're like, I still want to play because,
right,
I think I need to go play.
Right.
When really you should just sit down.
One more thing I'd like,
sure,
to,
please,
point out,
please do,
is that I remember in the past you have said, like, you've made a joke on the air and you know that that person is not offended in any means.
Correct.
But someone calls in and they're offended for that person.
Right.
Okay. So this might be a similar situation in that her, I don't think anyone on the U.S. team was angry at her for stepping out and taking care of herself.
No, they probably weren't. Yeah, they probably weren't. Unless the one girl who didn't get to compete because of that.
Right. So, but let's say that they're not.
Right.
Then you're offended for someone who isn't offended.
I understand what you're saying. You're trying to use my own logic against me. So I know what you're doing. I'm not dumb. I know exactly what you're doing.
But it's true.
No, I'm saying, like, this is the thing. We live in a world of opinion. And this job is opinion. And so I have an opinion about this. Like, am I offended? No, because it's not going to affect my sleep one way or the other tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But I do make a living out of opinion, you know? And so I think for me, I'm part of the problem, honestly. I'm part of the mental health problem. I will give you that. Mm-hmm. I will fully
appreciate you saying that.
Oh, absolutely. Because here's the deal. I watched you walk through your stuff, and I walked through it with you.
Oh, yeah.
And I would say, I think I was a pretty good friend,
yeah,
you know,
for sure.
And tried to help you because I love you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, like, when I tend to generalize things and specifics, you and me on this point, on this level, I 100% get it, and I understand it, and I want to be there for you, you know, kind of thing. When I look at a generation of people holistically and not the specifics of someone that's struggling, I see a generation that I think has become weak, honestly,
mm-hmm,
and that does hide behind mental health and uses it as a scapegoat. Now, I know that's a stereotype, and,
mm-hmm,
and it's an overgeneralization, 100%. And I'm not even saying that that's what Simone does, but I know that this is my default before I get into the one-on-one or the specifics is my default is really, even with my own daughter, like, and I have to watch myself with that. Like, I have to be careful what I say around her when somebody is, I watch some news story and they're like doing some story about mental health and I'm like, you know, and I have to watch that with her because she struggles with this. And even when she had a thing the other day and she's like, hey, I don't have a choice. I my mind is wired like this. And I'm just like, I didn't raise you like this, you know? And so I have to remember that it's not my fault, you know, because there's part of me that takes that on. Like, what didn't I do well for you as a dad? Where was I wrong, you know?
But would you rather her not take care of herself and you see her becoming a complete negative person that just self implodes?
No, I'm glad that she is aware of this stuff. I just, and honestly, I did not, I didn't fully believe it, to be honest with you. I felt like she was more of a product of the people around her, and she was living into the narrative.
I think we're all messed up.
Got to be messed up. If you're not messed up, you're not right. You know, because I really think there's a danger of that. Mm-hmm. There's a danger of when you're so aware of it and everything's so aware, it gets hyper aware, and then there's people that like, oh, I'm sad. Well, you're not depressed. You're sad. Big difference. Mm-hmm. But they take it on as I'm depressed and I worry. I have anxiety. No. Mm-hmm. Worry and anxiety are two different things. And so with my own daughter, I'm trying to balance out, are you being overly sensitive or overly, you know, influenced by your generation, or is this legit an issue for you? Mm-hmm. You know? And that's hard to, from the outside, it's hard to deal with.
2 points.
Please.
I believe that women's brains are way different than men's. Men are able to block things off.
Like, absolutely.
You have sections and this is where that belongs, this is where that belongs.
Yeah.
But for women, a lot of things just run together because we are more emotional, and it's good that we are, because if all of us were just non-emotional, then we'd all be negative, terrible people.
Right.
So I think that's something to keep in mind. Another thing, and I think you'd agree with me on this, social media has put a lot of pressure on this generation
Absolutely.
Z, whereas boomers, whereas Generation X, something they didn't have to worry about. And there's also many studies that say once you hit your 40s or whatever, you stop caring about what other people think.
Sure.
But you will agree that when you're in your teens, when you're in your 20s, you care a lot.
Absolutely.
But this generation is now growing up with social media in their teens and their 20s, and that's causing more and more anxiety
for
depression. And yeah, I will definitely give you that. I'm sure there's a lot of people that just feel sad and then they think they're depressed because there is this feeling of like, I'm a victim and if I haven't held my own anxiety or depression issues, then I have nothing to talk about with others, you know?
Well, in essence, because when you see people like Simone Biles, who comes out and says, I'm dealing with all this mental health stuff, she gets a lot of praise and a lot of worship for coming out and saying that. And I think that there are a lot of younger kids these days who, and you know, I'm not, this is not something I deal with. I have a good life and I haven't dealt with any of this kind of stuff. But I do think that like a generation might say, oh, I wouldn't mind getting some hand claps for coming out and being strong. Now, I think that that's where it gets muddled, because you do have people who actually are dealing with that and want to talk about it. And then you have people who I think want a bandwagon as well.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And it's hard to tell the difference.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell the difference. And that's why you have to be careful judging it, and why I'm trying to have an opinion about this, but I'm also trying to have some sort of kindness in it as well.
Yeah.
Like, because again, it's a person.
Also too, it is super easy nowadays, once again, back to social media, for everyone to have a voice. So this, being an athlete isn't being an athlete anymore. I know I've heard Gavin say if social media was around when Michael Jordan was around, he wouldn't have made
it.
Yeah. So I think there's more pressure with athletes now, especially like Simone Biles, because the weight of the world is on her shoulders. Mm-hmm. She's supposed to be representing women, African-American women, you know, all
the
these
United
different.
States.
Yeah, the United States. And that's just a lot of pressure.
I wouldn't
You could easily get on any social media platform and see what everyone thinks of you.
Yeah. I got you. I process things, I think, differently than a lot of people. And not like, I'm not to say that, oh, I'm the only one in the world that feels this way because I'm so different or so smart. Because I think there are a lot of people that do, especially in my generation, that process things the way I do. Mm-hmm. Some healthy, some not healthy, you know. But like I was thinking about this the other day, we were at small group and, or no, it was here on the show. We were talking about things that color your holidays and a tragedy that colors your holiday. And so many people calling and saying, yeah, I lost my mom. I lost my dad. I lost my whatever, you know, and this time of year is really hard for me. And I was thinking about that. I'm like, oh my gosh, I lost my dad right before Christmas 3 years ago. But I don't live in that narrative. Like I'm not wired that way. Like I don't sit there and every Christmas, I'm enjoying Christmas, you know, like I don't get up and I don't go, oh, I lost my dad. Christmas is over. I miss him. You know, do I miss him? Absolutely. Like are there times I see, I have pictures of him on my desk and I look at him and, but I tend to not wallow. I tend to move forward very quickly. And I'm not wired to spend time like letting that event color my entire holiday kind of thing.
I'll agree with you on that. I think you're right on that, but you wallow in other things that maybe people that wallow in the grief of losing someone, they wouldn't wallow in.
What do I wallow in? What do you think?
So like, for instance, when something bad happens,
yeah,
like on the show, you hit something wrong, you can sit there for a while
and
wallow
drives
in
me
it.
Crazy.
Or if someone gives you one negative comment and you got all this positive, you'll sit there and soak in the negative.
Critics math, absolutely.
Or you will focus on that one person that could give you a negative conversation and you have that conversation in your head. That's wallowing.
Sure.
That's sitting there in that negativity and just feeding off of it.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
So what I'm saying is I think, yeah, maybe when it comes to grief, you're able to move past
it. Yeah, grief is not a thing I struggle with.
But maybe when it comes to, I don't know if criticism is the right word, but yeah, I don't really know. But your work is something that you're very passionate about.
Sure.
And if anyone has anything negative to say about it, that's something you could wallow in.
Oh, yeah. And I definitely have an opinion and a pushback.
Yeah, and whereas someone else that maybe has grief over losing their dad, they could easily bounce back from something that someone says.
I want to be very clear. I wasn't saying that I'm better than anybody. I'm just saying I don't deal with, like, grief is not something that wrecks me kind of thing.
But maybe that's good because you're... wife, it does.
Sure.
And if you were both that way, then that would not be good.
Yeah, it's a good balance for when she's going through it. You have the strength to hold her up.
Well, and the trick of it, though, is to try to empathize and understand.
Sure.
That's the hard thing, too, because you can't just be like, well, just be like me. You know, just get past it. It's not a big deal. Because I'm sure she's with me like, well, just be like me and don't worry about dumb things that don't matter. Because that's my world, like you're saying, getting caught up in the little things and the work stuff. So look at that. Once again, we have, on our last day of Aftercast, done a little therapy session.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Betty, you always surprise me.
Oh, thank you.
99% of the time, good. Sometimes you surprise me, like, what in the world?
Like that, like that other day when I was like, Jordan Feliz. Police,
yeah,
I
just got it. Yeah, yeah. There are times you surprise me, and I'm like, "What in the world?" But like the times that you surprise me, like with the stuff you learned at Colorado Christian University, like your psychology degree, you surprise me with that. You surprise me with things that sometimes people don't think you can do because of your persona on the air, and they attribute some of your southerny homespunness to, well, she won't be able to do this.
Stupidity or...
I didn't say that.
I would.
But they think that you are less than capable of what you are capable of. And you always...
I'm capable.
You are. You are moderately capable of a lot of things.
Always keeping
and
me.
And Gavin, while we're doing this, I'm going to tell you, Gavin, you have really been an amazing addition to the show. And I'm so happy that you're here, 2 years later now?
Yep.
That's amazing. And, you know, you're doing a great job. You fit in awesome with the show. And we're all, we're in a good clip now with everybody. And I really enjoy coming to work. And I enjoy working with both of you. And you're just not missing things. And you're constantly thinking ahead. And you're on point with your job. And you're doing a great job. Your videos you cut are great. So anyway, there is a little bit of goodness at the end of the year.
Spreading the Christmas joy.
I know. Oh, I know. It feels good. It's our last aftercast.
And you're good at being creative and fun.
Oh, well, thank you, Lady
and
Rock.
You lead this team very excellently.
That was even better. Well, nicely done, Gavin. That's why Gavin's going places.
But there was that one time.
Yeah, there
I did
was
also
that
win the most money.
That's true. You're pretty amazing, Gavin.
Moving on.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for our after.
No.
Oh, birthdays
well,
we and
we got a few things
it's
to
Friday.
Do.
It's Friday. Oh, my goodness.
Or holiday
All right, let's
plans.
Go. We're already 32 minutes into
All
this
right,
bad boy.
Chloe.
Go.
Chloe, she is celebrating her birthday on Sunday. So happy early birthday.
Chloe.
She says, I love your show so much. Betty Rock is my favorite.
Oh, who
Chloe.
Isn't? She's everybody's. Again, everyone loves her, but she hates everyone.
No, I... Claire. Claire wants to wish her dad. His name is John. She said, it's not his birthday, but I was hoping he could get a Merry Christmas shout out. He listens to the podcast when he's going for walks, so could you tell him to have a nice walk?
Is this the Claire we know?
It might be. I'm not sure. She didn't leave her last name.
I think it might be. Well, John, have a nice walk today.
And Merry Christmas.
A little faster.
Yeah. Thank you.
Pep it up. Question.
Pep it up.
Would you rather walk slower than everyone for the rest of your life or have to run everywhere you go?
Oh, I would have to walk slower because I can't run everywhere. I pretty much, when we go somewhere and we're like doing an event, I'm almost running.
Yeah. I cannot keep up. You're like Speedy Gonzalez. You're just like everywhere you go. Like at an airport, I can't keep up. I'm having to do double steps. Just to catch up with you.
Yeah, when I'm on task and we're like traveling or whatever, I am just, I'm like double time, man, for sure.
I think I would rather run.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because like I don't want to. I hate running.
Yeah.
But maybe if I have to do it, then I'll get better at it and I'll accept it more and get into shape. So it's a win-win.
Get into shape. Well, the only
but
thing
also,
needs to be in shape in you is maybe your lungs.
Stronger lungs.
You would
gain
evaporate.
Weight through muscle. I think.
Yeah.
But I would also like to, like if I'm worried about something, I wouldn't want to just, it would be torture having to slowly walk there.
Oh,
like, what if someone
needs
my help? Yeah, I'd rather run.
That is the thing that drives me crazy. Like, someone will come in, like our boss will come in and go, "Hey, before you leave, I need 5 minutes." And I literally, whatever I'm doing, I go, "Let's do it now." And I'll put my headphones down because I want to deal with that thing right now. I don't want to sit there and stew on it for
waiting.
10 minutes, half hour, an hour. I'm like, okay, let's go now.
My wife used to do that to me over the phone when we were dating, when we were doing long distance. She would be like, I really need to like talk to you about something. I'm like, okay, well, what am I doing now? She's like, no, we can wait till later. I'm like,
No, I
don't want to spend 3 hours worried about whatever you're about to tell me.
Because I might confess to something that I'm not even in trouble for yet.
Wally's marriage.
You fix it before you even tell me what it is.
Gavin, what would you rather do?
I think I'd rather, you bringing up the emergency thing is a good point. And running would help me get in shape, which I so desperately need. But I'm going to choose walking slowly because that sounds less stressful on the 95% of the time when there's not an emergency.
Your heart's going to be better off for it. Your heart will love you. All right, Rock.
Weekend plans?
Holiday plans.
Weekend plans. Everyone's got them. Weekend plans. Yeah. I know. Yeah, this is holiday weekend plans because it's the last one. So I've still got some stuff that we're trying to get situated for my daughter's move. I rented a truck yesterday.
Wow.
So
it's exciting.
We're going to look for a couch this weekend and send her down with a little bit of furniture and
when is she officially moving?
27th, so 2 days after Christmas.
So you guys celebrate and get on the road.
Yeah, and I'm trying, and there's a whole thing like they're closed on Christmas and Christmas Eve, so I'm trying to find a U-Haul that I can do an automatic pickup with my app and things like that. So there's a couple little moving parts I got to get worked out, but I'm getting there. And so I thought, so I called U-Haul yesterday. I'd gone online and then I got all the way to the end and it wouldn't let me show that I could pick up from this location like that. So I called them thinking, oh, this will help out. So the lady walks me through everything and it's everything I just did online. Aww. And then I'm like, okay, well, how can I guarantee if I use this place that I can get it on like Christmas Eve or, you know, the day after? Oh, you can't. Well, I could
guarantee. Like,
yeah.
Whoa.
I could have done this. I could have done this online and already reserved this.
It's weird,
like,
that you can't guarantee.
You're helping me, not at all. You know, Merry Christmas, but no help at all.
The last time that we tried, because when we moved into our rental house earlier this year, we went through U-Haul, and when I went to go pick the truck up, they were like, "Oh, our entire system is just completely down."
Yeah.
The entire, for like the good 3 or 4 hours, and I was trying to do it like in one day.
Yeah.
On a Monday, like on a work day, after I had like 8 hour work day. And so I was like, okay, well, we'll come back. And they called me back like 4 hours later saying, we're ready for you. So yeah, I'm starting to feel like U-Haul's a little sketchy.
I know. That's rough, man. Holy cow. Yeah. So we'll see. I got 767 miles. I just found out. Turns out it's like $1 a mile too to rent the truck,
yeah,
roughly.
It's expensive.
Yeah. It's like 700 and something bucks.
Are all
to rent
three
the
of
truck.
You guys going?
Yeah, because we're driving her car down. So Marty and her and Haley are going to drive behind us, and I'll take the truck.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's the big stuff I'm working on over holiday.
Have you heard of the strategy for driving a U-Haul across country? Is that if you have the U-Haul in the car, driving the car driver goes in front of the U-Haul and then always moves over and leaves room for the person.
I always do it opposite.
Or maybe it is the
opposite. Behind.
It is behind.
Yeah,
because
the car behind hits the blinker and goes over and stops the people behind them.
Leaves room for the U-Haul, because that's a tough... Those vehicles don't move fast.
I am so good at driving in tandem with people, and my wife is so bad at it.
Oh, funny.
Yeah, like, and my daughter got my wife's tandem driving gene. Like she's passing me. Like, what are you doing? Like, we're working as a unit here. You pull over, let me pull over.
You must be going too slow.
Yeah, next... No, and the next thing I know, old lady Haley's passing me and smiling like, what is wrong with you?
Oh, great.
It's going to be a fun time.
Oh, I know. Good times.
What am I doing? I have a couple of Christmas parties that I'm going to.
Exciting.
Yes. I am checking on Sasha.
Oh.
I believe.
You are? Okay.
I think so.
Oh, did
I have
Marty
it
hit you
down.
Up? Oh, great. Thank you. I didn't even know.
Yeah.
Oh, so Marty. Oh,
also,
is that while we're gone to Florida?
No.
After Christmas?
No, it looks like I'm supposed to be checking on her starting the 19th.
Where am I going?
Where are you going?
I don't know.
Really?
Of this month.
Maybe I've got it wrong. Maybe it's supposed to be the 26th.
Was it the 19th of, was that November?
No.
You're looking at November?
No, this is December. I'll have to check with
you. You know what? Let's check on that because I don't know where I'm going on the 19th. Did my wife book a cruise and she hasn't told me?
Maybe.
Yeah, this is
who
awkward.
Knows?
That'd be funny if you just ruined the surprise.
Oh, that'd
because,
be so
Because I know nothing about this.
I'll have to check with
her. I think she would tell you.
And the 19th was supposed to be the date that we were going to go on that cruise with our friends if we had decided to go.
That'd be a lot, though.
It would be a lot. And I even told her that's a lot, but I told her I was willing to do it. Oh, no. Did you just ruin the surprise?
This is going to be so
funny. Now I gotta check.
Oh, no!
Stop.
Lady Rock!
Stop. Watch, you get your hopes up, and then I have
to. I know, now then I'm going to be sad.
Oh, I hope there's a good resolution to this.
This is so great.
She's like, oh, just kidding, that was an accident.
Yeah, don't tell Wally. It's probably the next line.
Okay, November, thank you.
Yeah.
Buffalo, no. On the 20th, Big Bear and Buffalo, Arkansas, that will be gone. No, that's November. Maybe I did get it wrong. No.
Poor Sasha.
No, that's when she was worried about you on the last support drive. Oh, that reminds me. Bring your blood pressure
medicine. Yeah, I'm going to. Well, I take my medicine every day.
You've been
but
doing
I'm bring
pretty
my
good.
Cup. Yeah, I feel good. I feel good. Yeah, so. I want to check.
This is fun.
Yes, and then take. Right. Okay. I'm in Christmas party and we bring. Oh no, that was. I think I got it wrong.
Okay,
actually.
Yeah.
I'm gonna text her and ask.
Yeah,
maybe. Okay. So. Okay.
Well, now I'm sad. I'm not going on a cruise.
Sorry.
He's like,
you're still the worst. You're the worst either way.
I'm probably checking on. I'm doing a lot of pet sitting as well.
Okay.
So I also have to do some dog sitting for my friend Dina.
I would imagine she was asking you for when we went out to move Haley.
Let me check in.
So anyway, Gavin, weekend plans.
So I got a few highlights, I guess. So this Saturday, tomorrow, I will go and either online or in person. I'd love to just get it done in person. Purchase an iPhone.
Yes! That is a Christmas miracle. Yeah.
It really is. God bless us, everyone.
Things are about to get so much better.
Praise
for
the
me.
Lord.
Nice.
So, yeah, this thing's just gotten to that annoying point. In terms of its operation, yeah. I've never personally been offended by how bad it is
I've
for
been
you
very
guys.
Offended.
But I'm ready for this to be a working phone and. You know?
I didn't want to force you into getting a phone and spend money you didn't want to get. The only thing that bothered me is that I could never have you shoot a
nope.
video.
Nope, it always stifles us here.
Grainy, and you can't just send it to us.
And
so,
if you send something to me yeah, and Gavin's
bad.
In on
yeah.
it.
It's tiny.
It's tiny.
Yeah.
And then if he tries to take something with his, like even a photo, it just looks like he put it through a granulator.
Yeah, and I don't even know why that would be. I mean,
I truly don't understand it.
It is
yeah.
so terrible.
So, yay,
so can't airdrop him anything.
Gonna do that.
Can't
good day.
FaceTime.
It's a good day.
And it is a good day.
Gonna Let's be see. A good day.
It's gonna be a great day. I might not get it till Christmas, though, so we'll see.
That's fine.
If I, yeah, no.
That's fine.
But when I come back next year, we'll
Woo!
Be blue text bubbles for days.
Nice.
And then, yeah, we're going out to New Mexico for Christmas, so we'll start that drive, be out there for 5 or 6 days. We're going to come back and go see Haley's family for a couple days in Louisiana. And then I think we're showing up potentially the day before we go back to work on Monday in January. So
I always like to come back at least a day early.
Because that's the thing is that Haley's like, oh, we'll spend this amount of time with my family, but maybe more if Gavin's okay with coming home later. I'm like,
oh, and then she blames it on
yeah.
you.
I don't know. If that's that might not
terrible.
Be how it went, but like it's that up in the air where it's like, this amount of time, if yeah. I want to, you know, get home and then go to work, you know, 8 hours later.
Yeah, I don't like doing that. Like, if I have to drive 10 hours one day and then get home and then go to work the next day, yeah. I like to have a day buffer to just mm-hmm. get done what I need to get done at home and just chill before I go back mm-hmm. into work. So, all right. Well, with that said, that is going to do it for your Aftercast today. And again, through the end of the year here. But thank you so much for being a potty.
We're going to miss you.
If you want to keep this thing going and help out, you can always donate at wayfm.com. That's what keeps the podcast free and what keeps us being able to do this every day. So thank you very much for being a potty. And I hope you have a great Christmas
Merry
and
Christmas.
A happy new year.